the order of service and everything, and I even forgot that I'm supposed to let you guys help me read Ephesians chapter 2. So, sorry about that. I'll get my game back on here in a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2. What we're going to talk about this morning is something that really God has been working in my heart about for several different months now, for almost a year. I've been studying and looking over the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Those books of the Bible are considered the pastoral epistles. They're written by Paul to two people who he went out and trained. And they were previous disciples of Paul, Timothy and Titus, and he sent them to different cities, appointed them a pastor there, and had special instructions for them. And because I'm new in the ministry and new to be at pastoring, I found those books to be very helpful and very encouraging to me personally. And I really thought that this morning I'd probably be in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, or Titus, but God has brought me to, I think, Ephesians chapter 2, because what is said there really kind of summarizes a lot of what happens in those books. And I think that it's just really clearly stated here in verse 10, especially, of Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to read that again. Actually, we'll read verses 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What I want to talk about a little bit this morning is good works. What does that mean? Well, God says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that God is, through Christ Jesus, making us into something. And the purpose of us being made into that something, being made into the image of Christ, according to this passage, is that we would be involved actively in good works. I want to talk about something that's very practical this morning. I want to talk about, how are we involved in going about and doing good? Now, God is much more concerned about who we are internally. God is concerned about our relationship with Him. God is concerned about the time we spend with Him and who we are with Him and how Christ is living through us, how we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we are filled with the Holy Spirit and if we are following Christ, there are actions which God wants us to take, certain behaviors that should be present in our life. And we're going to focus a little bit on that today. We're going to talk about how God wants us to act and how God wants us to be involved. And we're going to go beyond the basic things. We're going to go beyond the fact that if you're a Christian, you should read your Bible and pray. Everybody knows that. You should be involved in that. If you're a believer, you should be learning about God from the Word of God. You should be praying to Him. You should be even involved in telling other people verbally about your Lord Jesus Christ, telling what He has done for you and how He has saved you. We're going to go beyond that, and we're going to talk about sharing the gospel and pointing people to Christ by how you are involved in your family and how you are involved in your community, how you are involved, how people around you view you as a person. So we're going to look at that here from verse 10. In order to do that, we want to look, first of all, what is the purpose of good works? We're not going to give a definition, really, of good works right now. You know what is a good work. You know what other people would view as a good person, okay? A person who is involved doing good things. I'm not going to get very specific on that. I'll leave that up to your imagination, okay? But why should we be involved in doing good? Let's say, obviously, it's better than doing bad, okay? Well, the Bible is not just about don't do this, don't do that. The Bible is not a book of restrictions and laws that keep you from doing anything fun. The Bible is not just stop. The Bible is also go, do, be involved, show forth my son through the way you act.
And in order to look at good works, we need to first look at what is the purpose of good works. And a lot of people have this wrong. Most religions have this wrong. Why should we be involved in doing good things? And most religions would teach you that the purpose of good works is to earn God's favor or earn God's salvation. That is clearly not the teaching of the Bible. The Bible says, especially right here, says that by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, the purpose of works cannot be to earn grace of God, because if it were to earn the grace of God, then it wouldn't be grace. Grace is a gift. If you work for it, if you do good to get God's grace, if you do good to get God's salvation, then guess what? It's no longer grace. It's something that you've worked for, something that you've earned. It would no longer be of grace. If it were something that we could earn, then we could literally say that some people are better than other people inside. We could say that, hey, the reason that God loves me, the reason that I have a home in heaven, the reason that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ is because from a little child, I have always loved God and always done as good as I can. That is not grace. That is earning something. And that is that the idea that your works can earn you grace or can earn you salvation leads to boasting and pride. And God despises boasting and pride. He does not want it in His presence. It was pride that caused Lucifer to be cast out of heaven. And it is pride that has changed him from Lucifer to Satan. So, we cannot look at works in any way, not only as an earning of salvation, but an earning or earning of God's favor. That is not the purpose of good works. A second reason that we have to think that another thing that good works is not for. Good works are not for the purpose of pleasing yourself. We don't need to do good things in our community so that other people think that we are wonderful. Okay? This is something that I assume you, because I do it, okay? I typically assume that if I have a sinful heart, that you have the same sinful heart, okay? So I assume that there are things which you do and which I do because we care a lot about what other people think about us, about how people view us. The Pharisees did that, right? They would go into the marketplace in Jesus' time, and they would preach. They would stand up and pray, and they would do it so that everybody around them could see how spiritual they were. They'd go into the treasuries of the temple, and they'd pour out their money so that everybody could see how much money they were pouring out. Okay, they would do good things for the eyes of people. And it is very tempting to be a good person, to be involved in doing good things, so that people look at you and say, wow, that Ben, he is a nice guy. He is a good guy. And it's very easy for me to say, oh, yes, I am. Thank you very much. Okay? Because I like that. I like people to think good things about me instead of bad things about me. But ultimately, that is not the reason. Another thing is, my dad, not just that you would do it for yourself so that others could see you, but that you would do it so yourself that you feel so that you feel good inside. Okay? My dad, I don't know how many of you know this, I've probably said it before. My dad, when I was growing up, was a director of a homeless shelter in Massachusetts. And it was interesting. Around Christmas time and Thanksgiving, around the holidays, people would come and they would give. And they would never give at any other time of the year. They would come around Christmas time and they would want to, you know, serve a meal. Or they would want to give Christmas presents to the kids. Those are good works. Those are right things. But it wasn't for any other purpose other than often they felt guilty inside and they wanted to feel better about themselves. Or they wanted to feel about themselves as if they were a good purpose, a good person. Now, when you do good things, there is a reward from God that will make you feel good. Okay, when you're obeying, there is joy and there is blessing to it. But that is not the reason either why we should be involved in doing good. There is one reason, really expressed in three different ways. Actually, wait, I skipped one. Another reason that it is not. Okay, another reason that we don't need to be involved in good works is because our job is not to change the world to make it a better place. Okay, you hear that all the time. You hear, we are going to stamp out hunger. Guess what? You're not. You're not going to stamp it out. Jesus says there will always be the poor with you. Our doing good things ultimately is not because we are serving other people. Our good things that we do are not man-directed. They are not socially directed. There is a social gospel out there which says that you do good things because you are going to change the world for the better for Jesus Christ. That was not Jesus' mission, and it is not his mission today. His mission is not to change the world to be a better place. The world is going to be destroyed in judgment someday. Jesus Christ's mission is for individuals to come to him for salvation. He wants people to realize who he is, and he wants them to come to him to be saved. So don't do it to change the world to become a better place. The world is going to remain under the curse of sin. There's a soup kitchen in the Bronx that some people in the Bible study that we want to be involved in, that I'm leading actually, they wanted to be involved in a soup kitchen called Part of the Solution, POTS. That's a good idea. But we have to make sure that we realize that serving food at a homeless shelter, doing those kinds of things, that is not going to really solve the problem. The only thing that solves the problem is Jesus Christ and bringing them to him. So what if we're supposed to be involved in good works, then why? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to do it? What is the purpose of it? If it's not for our earning grace from God and his favor, if it's not for pleasing ourselves, and it's not for changing the world, then why should we be going about doing good? There's one reason that stands out very clearly to me. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. This is probably the verse that turned me on to this study, which I've been doing over the past couple months, about good works, about being known as a person who does good things, actively involved. It says, verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to be involved in good works, not so that people point to us, not so that we can change the world, not so that we can earn God's favor, but so that when people look at our lives and look at the way we are helping others around us, they look at us and say, wow, I wonder if their God is like that. Is their God a good God? Is their God care for me? Is their God, are they a picture of God? I was doing a little bit of study, actually, about the word mitzvah, a Jewish word, a good work, a good deed. And actually, the word means commandment. I didn't know that before. It means commandment. But there are those, a mitzvah in common usage is just a good thing that a person does to another. Jewish people try to do mitzvahs all the time, good deeds to you, good deed for you. And
I was reading a blog, I guess, and I came across a quote by a rabbi, not a believer in Jesus Christ by any means, but he was explaining the purpose of a mitzvah. And I thought it was something that was good, even true, even though this man does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord. It says, when a mitzvah or a good deed is being performed, the innermost will of the creator of the universe is being carried out openly within his creation. God does good. The creation, us, is showing the will of the creator. That is called light. A window from the creation to the inner will of the creator. We give picture to God. A picture to the people around us of what our God is like when we're involved in blessing them and doing good for them. So one of the reasons is that we need to do good works so that we can glorify our God or our Father in heaven. It's also pointed out as a different spot in Hebrews chapter 10:24, John 13:35, and James 12:2-18. It's an identifying mark of being a disciple of Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. We're going to actually flip around a lot this morning, so I hope you have your fingers nice and limber. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful is he that is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, what is the defining mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ? And you had the right answer, you would probably say love. Okay? Jesus Christ's disciples, according to John chapter 11, the defining mark between them is that they are to love one another. Okay? How is love expressed? Is love a feeling? Or is love an action? There must be an action attached to love. You don't really love somebody if you are not doing something for them. Okay? And even James himself has said the same connection between faith and works. If you have faith, show me your faith by your works. If somebody comes to you and they're hungry and they're destitute and they are in need of clothing, and you say to them, go away, be warmed, be filled, yet you don't give them those things that are necessary for that, how does the love of Christ abide in you? How are you going to express that your faith is real if you're not intentionally involved in doing good in your ability, as your ability? As much as within us, we should do good to all people. Okay? And it's an identifying mark of believers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 talks about how that those works, those good things which we're supposed to do good to all men, primarily to believers, primarily to one another, as a Christian family, as a church, our first concern should be taking care of other believers, making sure that we are set, but then also to all men, also to the people outside of this building, taking care of them, showing our love to them through our works. It is a proof that the Holy Spirit is in residence within our life. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is a verse that speaks of Jesus. Jesus is being preached by Peter to Cornelius, and he is described as, in verse 38 of chapter 10, says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I like to think of it like this. You know, Buckingham Palace, okay? They have a royal standard, a flag that represents the king and the queen. When the king and the queen, king or the queen, presently the queen, are in residence in Buckingham Palace, that flag is up.
When the royals are not there, that flag is down.
If we have the Holy Spirit resident within us, as Jesus had the Holy Spirit resident within him, he was full of the Holy Ghost, then one of the marks of us should be that we are going about doing good as he was. So, I believe that is the purpose of good works, about being involved. Secondly, we need to look at the priority of good works. How important is it really that we are actively involved in going about and doing good? Is this just something that, you know, okay, when you get a chance, if you could do this, that would be great? Or is it something that God really views as terribly important? Well, what does it say in the verses we looked at? It says that it was, we are creating Christ Jesus unto good works. That's pretty important. That's a purpose for which he saved us. That's a purpose for which he called us. I'm not saying it's the only one, but it is one of them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 talks about it as well. I will go there because I do not remember how to quote things when I'm up here in the pulpit. I forget stuff very easily up here. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Yes, that includes, like I said earlier, it includes prayer, Bible study, sharing the gospel verbally. But I believe it also includes how we live, how we go about, how we get involved with our neighbors. Who are we supposed to really do good works to, by the way? To our family. Yeah, okay, everybody does that. Okay, if you're good to your family, guess what the Bible says? The Bible says, that's natural. You should be good to your family. Okay, now some people struggle with that. Okay, you have a hard time being nice husband to wife. Okay, I get that. Kids, not always nice, easy to be nice to them. But Jesus says, generally speaking, that's pretty accepted. To your friends, yeah, of course, that's good. I mean, you like them, they like you, you're going to do nice things for them. Where does Jesus take it to? To your enemies. That is where Christ stands out differently. That is where things become a little more challenging. That's where the glory of God is seen, as it can't be seen anywhere else. It's natural for you to take care of your family. It's natural for you to like your friends. It is unnatural and totally of God if you can treat your enemies as if they're your family and your friends. Okay? When you're treating your family and friends good, right? So, we're supposed to have a priority that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go over there. We're finally getting to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says that, actually, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So God says that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then he says in this passage that God has given us the Bible. He inspired the Bible, which we have before us. And one of the reasons that he has done that is so that we would be mature in good works, doing good things. Why? So that God would receive the glory. So that we would be recognized as the disciples of Jesus Christ. So that it would be obvious that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. That's pretty important. We have a big love for this book, I hope. And yet, he says, one of the reasons I wrote it is so that you would do good. You'd be actively involved in doing the right things. That's a pretty big priority. Now, what about a passion for it? Do you love to do good things? Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, who gave himself for us, speaking of Jesus, to redeem us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and preserve unto himself a peculiar people. That's us. We're weird, okay? Peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Fully engaged. Fully excited about it. I was looking up examples of zeal. I'm trying to think, how can I illustrate this idea of zeal? I mean, excitement is good, but it's kind of shallow. I came across this story about a director of the Philadelphia Philharmonic Orchestra. He was really into his work. He did it for like 40 years. He's one of those guys that, like, at the age of 3 years old, he was recognizing symphonies as they were played. And, oh, I know who wrote that one. And brainchild, okay? Very smart guy. And really got into music and was really, really very passionate about it. So passionate, in fact, that one time in the 70s, he's gone, he's dead now, he was directing the orchestra so engaged and so excited that he dislocated his shoulder doing it, okay? Now, I can imagine dislocating your shoulder doing some things, but dislocating your shoulder, waving a stick around and telling an orchestra how to play, that's pretty amazing. And yet, that's kind of what Jesus is saying to us here, is that we should be really into this. This should be like what we're about in many ways. Zealous, excited, looking for the opportunity. Let's go over also now to Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Same book, just probably on the same page for you. Says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God," I hope that's you, "might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." The idea of being careful is the idea of being intentional. When you go about your day, not thinking about, how am I going to get through my day? How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to get all the work done that's on my list? How am I going to get to bed again at night? Okay? But go about it and say, I am not going to miss an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody today. I am not going to miss the opportunity when I'm going through the grocery store and somebody is struggling to reach something from the top shelf to get it for them. I am not going to miss the opportunity to, you know what? My neighbor hasn't shoveled their sidewalk yet. I can go home and I can shovel their sidewalk for them, so that they think that I'm a wonderful neighbor. No! So that when they say thank you for them, you say, you know, I did it because that's what I believe my Savior would have me to do. So that you can start building that relationship with them. So you can start showing them the love of Jesus Christ through your actions. So that there will become a time when you can share the word verbally with them, and they will want to listen. I'm not saying you have to do. I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism here. I'm not talking about you can only do good things and build a relationship before you tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You need to be doing that. Okay, that's basic. Everybody should be involved. It's not like, I wonder if I should or wonder if I shouldn't. Yes, you have an opportunity to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it. But have that reputation that God is real in your life and that He affects the way that you live. That you care for them because your Savior cares for them. Be careful not to miss opportunities as you go about your day. You know, recently I don't know about you, but my kids sometimes have problems with manners at the table, okay? I know there are some people here whose kids are perfect on that. But my kids, it's like, sit down and, you know, burping at the table is funny. Laying all over the table, shouting at the table, interrupting at the table. It's great. Well, I introduced a game this last week to help my kids with manners, okay? I give them each 5 pennies to start the meal. And every time I catch them with a bad manner, I get to take their penny away, which is good. That's actually made them pay attention a little bit more. They've actually had really good manners this past week since I started that game. It's better than just a threat. You do it or else. I mean, giving them a positive motivation, which is great. Well, they decided that it would be a really good idea if I would play the game too. And believe it or not, my manners are not perfect always at the table. Sometimes I put my elbow on the table. Sometimes I talk with a little bit of food in my mouth. And you know what? My kids sit at the table, I'm at the end of the table, and they sit at the table like this. Not looking at their food, looking at me. So if I smack my lips a little bit while I'm putting my food in my mouth, you're chewing your mouth open. Or if I'm correcting somebody else and I haven't quite swallowed yet, you're chewing with food in your mouth. You're talking with food in your mouth. Okay? That's the idea. They're really excited about this. They're really excited to catch me. They don't want me to get away with anything. Our carefulness for good works should be, I don't want to miss something. I don't want to miss any opportunity to show my Savior to the people around me. So, there should be a passion that we have for this. And it is a powerful thing to have good works. What is the source of the power to do good works? Well, we've already looked at a verse that said that to do good works is a fruit. If you're going to have fruit, where do you have to be? You have to be attached to the vine. You have to be attached to Jesus Christ. We could go over to John chapter 15 right now and talk about how the fact that if you are not with Jesus Christ, then you have no power to do anything good for Him. If you're not spending time with Him, if you're not walking with Him, then forget about it. You're going to be doing maybe good things, but they're not going to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be for yourself. If you're going to be able to do good when people are doing bad to you, that's going to be because Jesus Christ is giving you the strength and the ability to do that. But beyond just where we're having the ability to do well, to do the right things, to have a faithful testimony, a consistent love for those around us and in our family and our enemies, you're going to have to be with Christ in order to have that. But what is the effect if you can do that, if you are walking with God? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. We go to several different passages about this. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, having your conversation honest or honorable among the Gentiles, among the heathen, we could say, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold. Okay, these things have to be seen, okay? Can't be just done inside your home. Can't be done just with your family. Can't be done while you're praying and reading your Bible in your closet. This is actually out there doing things. That when they see your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is talking about people who have a negative opinion about your faith. They have a negative opinion about Jesus Christ. They have a negative opinion about Christians. They call them all hypocrites. They call them simple-minded. They call them the problem with society. They call them narrow-minded. These are the people who, in old days, would have thrown Christians to the lions. These are the Jewish people who believed that following Jesus was errant Judaism and that it should be exterminated. Those people, when they speak against Jesus Christ, against you, because of your faith, it says that by your good works, in the day of visitation, they will glorify God. Now, that day of visitation is a really interesting phrase. It's not one you find very often in the Bible. The idea of visitation is the same word we get from bishop, okay? The idea of bishop is an overseer. A pastor is a bishop of a church. He's the overseeing of the church. So there are several different things which that visitation could refer to. It could refer to the judgment of God. When God comes and looks over their works and they are judged. But that doesn't seem to match very well with the rest of the passage because it's talking about the fact that they're going to glorify God. it could very well refer to the fact that when God works in their heart and they consider you, they glorify God because of you. Or it could go to the fact that they have heard a reputation about Jesus Christ. And that is where they get this predisposition. Maybe they've known a different Christian who was a hypocrite. Maybe they knew a different person who was a bad testimony of Jesus Christ. And yet, though they speak evil against Christians, when they take the oversight of your life, when they sit down and they consider you, it is your testimony which wins them to Jesus Christ. It is your testimony which brings them to salvation. That is how powerful this is. Your works will define your Savior to those around you. So, have good works. Because your bad works, by the way, work the opposite way. Your bad works, the Jewish people were said, it was said of them when they rejected God, that because of them, the name of God was blasphemed. Your God can be blasphemed by the way you act, too. You don't want that. Win people to Christ through what you do, the way you act, the kindness that you show, the way you express God. So, just want to look quickly as we're closing up at a couple of people in the Bible that were defined by their good works. The first one I will look at is Dorcas. You ever heard of her before? Tabitha, okay? That's another name of her, okay? Go, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. We are going to flip around a lot real quickly here. Acts chapter 9. Story of Dorcas dying, okay? It's going to give you a couple of ideas for good works here. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. Okay, so she's a follower of Christ, okay? Which, by interpretation, is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. Alms deeds is the idea of being merciful, giving, taking care of those around her, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. You know, good people get sick and die. They do. She did. Okay? Whom, when they had washed and laid her in an upper chamber, as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto them two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put them forth, kneeling down and prayed, and turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Not a very common thing for a disciple to actually raise up somebody from the dead, right? That was something more that Jesus did, okay? But this disciple was given the power by the Lord to raise up this lady. Not because of what she did, but look at how she is described. She is described as a person who was full of good works, alms deeds. And when Peter comes into the house, there's a bunch of widows around, people who really couldn't provide for themselves very well in that culture. And they're going and they're bringing up to her, look what Dorcas made for me. Look what she did. How will you want to be remembered at your funeral? Okay? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to have that? I think that Dorcas wasn't giving them rags. I have a feeling that Dorcas had pretty good quality work. She was giving the best that she could to them. That's why they were showing off. Look what Dorcas made for me. Look at what a godly, good woman she was. Dorcas was defined as a woman of good works. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Now this is talking about, specifically, about care that the church is supposed to give to widows. Okay, again, same group of people we saw there in Acts. Actually, the Bible says
in James, I believe it is, that true religion and undefiled before God and the Father is list to take care of the poor and take care of the widows and the fatherless. Okay? So this is a group that Jesus says are worthy of charity in this instance. And he's defining exactly which widows should be worthy of charity. Not every widow was supposed to be taken care of by the church, but there were some that who were, and these are those who classified. Those are ones who made it. Well reported of good works, if she have brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed after every good work. So, the book of Timothy is funny because oftentimes they give one thing and then they expand upon that thought. Okay, so a bishop must be blameless. The husband of wife. Blah, 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 blah. So blameless is the one word, and then everything else after in that passage describing the qualifications of a bishop or a pastor go back to what blameless means. Okay? I believe that's the same thing going on here. Good works. What is the first good work that is listed there after well reported of good works? Brought up children. Wow. Okay, have you ever thought of that before? Moms, don't get too discouraged. Okay, your work as a mom is very important. God describes it as a good work. Something which is honorable. Something which, especially if you do it well, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that is beautiful. It is a good thing in His sight. That word good works, the word for good, I haven't said this earlier, that word is a beautiful work. Thing that is pleasing in the sight of God. If you have brought up children, that's a beautiful thing. Then what's the next thing? Parallel thought. Lodge strangers. Use hospitality. Wash the saints' feet. Okay, I don't think very many of us have washed each other's feet. It's not the idea of just washing feet, but taking care of the needs and being a servant to other believers. If she has relieved the afflicted, taken care of those who have need or are sick, and followed after every good work. It's a picture of a good Christian. Mary. Let's go to Mark chapter 14, verse 6. Mark chapter 14, verse 6. We have Mary before Jesus, and she has just taken a very precious box of ointment or perfume, and she has poured it on the head of Jesus, and she has washed him down with that. And there were some that had indignation that thought that it was a waste, that it could have been sold, the ointment could have been sold for more. And they murmured against her. And Jesus says in verse 6, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me." Okay, yes, taking care of the poor, taking care of the saints, lodging strangers, doing good is a good work. And I said I wasn't going to concentrate on this very much. But the worship of God, the way you worship of God, the way you worship and the way you give and sacrifice for your God is a good work. It is something which Jesus says is good and beautiful and pleasant before His eyes. So be here when we worship God together. Be known as a worshiper of God. In your workplace, wherever you are, be somebody who is recognized not just as a person who does good, but as a person who worships God continually. And then, of course, the ultimate person who did well was Jesus. And we're not going to go into that because there's too much to look up. You want to go about looking what Jesus did that was good. Well, He only did good, right? Everything He did was good. I am going to go to one verse, though. John chapter 10, verse 32. John chapter 10, verse 32 is the last verse we're going to look at. Says there, Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed
you from my Father? For which of these do you stone me?" If somebody were to come up to you today and had a desire to execute you, as these people did, they came up to Jesus, had a desire to stone him, would you be able to point to a list of good works and ask which ones they're willing to kill you for? If you were to die today, would you be a person who is recognized by a long list of good works in your community, by your family? Would you be recognized for what you've done? Never count upon your good works to earn you salvation. Never count upon them to earn you God's favor or God's grace. We do those things not because we're trying to get something from God. We do those because God has done so much for us, and we want to show other people who our God is. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not given up on good works and realized that it is impossible to please Him through them, then this morning I'm going to invite you in a minute to place your faith in Him. There's nothing good enough that you can do to earn God's salvation. If there were, then Jesus Christ would never have had to die on the cross for you. He would never have had to come. You could have just worked your way there. But if you are a believer, are you actively involved in good works? Do your actions and the way you take care of your business and treat others indicate that you have a great God, that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit resides within you? God wants us to be active in good works. Not so that we can feel good about ourselves, not so that we can solve the world's problems, but so that He can be seen in our life. And the Bible is not just a book of restrictions. It's a book of action. It's a book of instructions on how we are to live, to be zealous for good deeds, and to be intentional in our pursuit of Him. The call to faith for the life of Christians is to be followed and attended by good works for the glory of God. If there's one call of action God has for us from this service, this sermon, from what we looked at today, the call of action for us is action. Do something. Do something so that others will see your God. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that